Welcome in. This is the Early Wedge. It is Friday night, and we are getting you up to date on everything you need to know for this week's Players Championship at the halfway point, as we hope to finish this second round tonight, which I don't know how optimistic I am about that. Patrick McDonald is here. Patrick.
Honor to join you, Rick. My first Friday show of this new endeavor that both of us are on, and couldn't be happier. Could not be happier. The overlords are already ringing me, and excited to talk some golf while I multitask.
Beautiful. Well, we can do that. We're professionals. We do this for a living. What a day we had. And it's been a tale of 2 days, Patrick. For one, Justin Thomas, who got ridiculed all over Twitter and social media. This guy's a hack. Oh, I bet you he's going to be the first pick on the Ryder Cup squad. A 78 yesterday, one of the worst rounds of his life. Oh, boy. JT comes out and makes 11 birdies in his first 17 holes. He bogeys 18, ties the course record, shoots a 62. Take that, haters.
This is, look, I'm very happy for the JT guys out there. There's a lot of him. He's a bit of a media darling. The media's kind of in the spotlight this week. A lot of testy back and forth there in Ponte Vedra. The players are rising up, Rick. They're hearing their own voices. They're liking what they're hearing, liking their own voice, puffing out their chest. And look, it's a fantastic round. Do not get me wrong. It's always great when Justin Thomas plays some really good golf. I think he's one of the most fun players to watch when he is on, like he was today. Just carving shots, shaping shots, one of the last real golfers, it feels like, right? Not one of those TrackMan ones like Colin Morikawa or something. I don't know. I don't own Colin anything, so I'm not sure if that's the name I want to throw out there. But this 2 day stretch from Justin Thomas is legit just his 2.5 years in a nutshell. Is it not?
It's bonkers.
A ton of great golf and a ton of bad golf.
I was just going to say, he had an 18 hole stretch that he played at 60. Between the way he finished round one and the way that he played his first 17 holes. But you're right. And the thing for Justin Thomas has never been the ability to go really low. The 59s, the 66s in 30 mile an hour wind, all that stuff. It has been the ability to not even do that for four rounds, but like shoot four 67s instead of a 68, 78, 62, 68.
Yeah, ton of firepower, but his floor is just way too low. And even like I looked to yesterday in particular, where he was getting away with highway robbery early in his round. He hit one green regulation through his first seven holes, Rick, and he was 2 under par. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, how the heck is this guy leading this golf tournament right now? Obviously, very early stages. And then he goes to 17, and there might be a puff of wind, and that might be generous to that puff. And you hear him and Matt Minister talking through it, chippy 9-iron, full pitching wedge. Oh, maybe we three-finger this one. Oh, what if we butterflied that one? Maybe we saute it, flip it, add some seasoning, do all this. And then he just whiffs a pitching wedge or a 9-iron that never has a chance to hit the green into the water. Hits his next tee shot into the water, and just like that, he goes from 2 under to 3 over. When in reality, all you got to do on 17, hit it on the green, take 40, 45 feet. Who cares if you're not on the right level, and live to see another day? But instead, he tries to be too perfect at the incorrect time. And look, he tried to be perfect today, and it worked out because he had nothing to lose. But that's just been this 2 year stretch for him, it seems like.
Jay Tizzle currently in a tie for 29th. He moves up 105 spots on the leaderboard. He is 80-1. I didn't see this myself, but somebody sent me a screenshot. I think he was 1,000-1 last night after the 78, now down to 80-1. He's still got a lot of work to do. Closer to the top of that leaderboard is Ricky Fowler, a 68 in the opening round, a 71, just one under here in the second round. He's in a tie for 16th here, Patrick, and Ricky is summoning a lot of those magical vibes that he's gotten around the stadium course at TPC Sawgrass in his career.
The magical vibes. Yes, Ricky, you know, it seemed like he found something there at the Cognizant Classic, hit the ball a lot better compared to the rest of the early season. And I was expecting a fast start for Fowler in 25, given his fall. Felt like he had another resurgent fall like he did a couple years ago, but just never materialized. So today got off to a really nice start, starting on the back nine. We saw a lot of guys do that, take advantage of the scoring on the back nine and then try to hold on for dear life on the front nine, even though it's not like it was playing too difficult out there, but a really good ball striking day. You hit 11 fairways when you're Ricky Fowler. That's a very good day. That's a good day for anyone. And so the iron play was sharp too. And it's just that putter in this version of Ricky Fowler. The putter hasn't really been the putter that it was, I don't know, the last decade since we pretty much just watched his 2015 Players Championship title over again on the broadcast. So He's going to have to get that going over the weekend. Short game's going to have to be a lot better. I'm expecting a lot of guys to miss greens given the weather that's coming in. And if the putter isn't cooperating, he'll probably just settle for a nice top 20 finish.
Yes, there is weather expected to come in over the weekend. We've known about this, especially the wind, because the grounds crew has been keeping this golf course a little bit softer, a little bit slower, just so that things don't get out of hand over the course of the weekend. Sepp Straka currently leads the FedEx Cup standings, Patrick, and he was off to an unbelievably hot start through 11 holes today. 5-under through 11, but a little clunky coming in. He plays the rest of his holes at 1-over, including a 3-putt par at the par 5 16th. He's going to enter the weekend inside the top 15, going to give himself a really good chance for a nice payday, another big finish, all that fun stuff, but he will go to sleep tonight with a couple strokes on the mind.
Yeah, this is brutal. This is the highest he could have shot across 2 days. It feels like, Rick, he hit all 14 fairways today.
He was awesome.
He hit 15 greens in regulations, and the ones that he didn't, I mean, they were just barely off. And so I look at what he's doing right now. Second in driving accuracy, fourth in scrambling, third from tee to green, ninth around the green, 101st putting. Yeah. I've obviously got the pre-tournament investment in Giuseppe, so I am biased, but he's a guy who's not going to get blown around by this wind, right? A very
Why is that? Oh, okay.
He's got a very stable base.
Stable base.
There are two ways you can look at it. You want short guys this weekend or you want bulky guys this weekend?
Toasty and Straka all the way.
Yeah. The tall, wiry guys. I don't know. Akshay Bhatia, perhaps. There could be some trouble there. That's all I'm saying. So I like the way it's setting up for Straka. But tomorrow's going to be big.
How's it setting up for Scottie Scheffler? Because he's open with rounds of 69 and 70, set, by the way, 40-1 as we go into the weekend. Scottie Scheffler, much shorter than that, 12-1. He's 69 and 70 in the first two rounds, got off to a nice start on the back nine, his first nine on the golf course today, made two birdies early, but really didn't do much after that, kind of alternating birdies and bogeys along the way. What have you seen from Scotty and how you think he sets up the rest of the way?
You know, it's been a very standard week, but an uncharacteristic one at the same time, if that makes any sense at all, right? Yeah, it's a Scotty Scheffler who is looking good from tee to green, no doubt about that, but he's also making some uncharacteristic mistakes. The tee shot on 14 was one of them. He's had that left miss going for all of this year, it seems like, Rick. The body not quite rotating enough, the upper body taking over and just yanking it left. But I look at the tee shot on 3, which was a 9-iron, I think, for these guys today, about $150, $155. He short sides himself left. Not good. And then the other bogey on, I think, 6, just left himself in a really bad spot. And so when you couple in a tee to green game that is still very good. It's still Scottie Scheffler like, but it admittedly, it's not as good as 2023 and it's not as good as 2024 up to this point. I'm not saying it's not going to get there this year, but numbers wise, it is not as good as the past 2 years with some uncharacteristic mistakes, course management wise, and that bulky putter that has come back to life on the East Coast. And you get him at, what is he, 6 under?
That's right.
And despite all that, Rick, despite me just throwing crap at him, throwing eggs at him, even though they're a little too expensive at the moment, he's 5 back. He is in like prime lurking. He chips in, boom, 2 back.
I lied to you. He's at 5 under. He's 6 back, but the point still stands.
It does still stand, yes.
Okay, the round of the day before Justin Thomas got on the golf course was a 65. That was Colin Morikawa, who looked like vintage Morikawa, taking aim at every flag. And when he missed a flag, he would just chip in. It was actually quite impressive to watch. He had 4 different sets of birdie pairs. So he birdied 12 and 13. 16 and 17, 1 and 2, 4 and 5. Wow. How about that? Twins for Colin. And he reminded the media after the round, he owes them nothing. Colin Morikawa has entered his FU era.
He is, I feel like he is someone who prides himself on having the most self-awareness in the room, knowing how he comes off and everything. And in doing so, Rick, he actually has the least self-awareness in the room, if that makes any sense at all. I don't care if you're not talking to the media after the API. There's definitely some grumblings by the traditional golf media and the media center today. But I was just trying to piece it all together. So he doesn't win API and he blows off the media. Fine. And then in the media center on Tuesday, he answers the question and says, I don't owe you guys anything. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Whatever. Like, you do you, man. He gets criticized by the media for his stances on that. And then today he goes, why are you guys criticizing me? It's like, I was like, am I missing anything right now? You can do whatever you want, Colin Morikawa. But to be surprised by this, and to give a monologue to the Brandel Chamblees, the Paul McGinleys, the Rocco Mediates of the world, just seems a little lacking in the self-awareness department. Great round, though. Seemed like he got the most out of his iron play on the par threes in particular. Hit a good one on 13, and the wedge into 17 was great. And then the short game carried the way there on 4 and 5 with those chip-ins. And then you tack on 3 birdies on the par fives, and you get your 65.
9 under par through 2 rounds. I've got one of the best players in the world tied with him, and then they're all chasing down a pair of golfers who, as Patrick described, might get blown away this weekend. We'll find out after a quick word from our partners. Okay, Patrick, it has been a tale of 2 rounds for Rory McIlroy. The opening round 67, he played from pine straw, rough, and anything but the short grass. He missed 10 out of 14 fairways. He was much, much better in round number 2. In fact, he hit all but 3 fairways. So that's how you flip that thing around. Either way, it's pretty similar scores, 67 and 68 for Rory, who is looking to add another gold boy to the trophy case.
So a couple weekends ago, Mark Immelman was in town here in Charleston and went to a rooftop bar. He's drinking an Aperol Spritz. The bartender knows who he is.
Hey, are you Mark Immelman?
Well, he actually goes, are you Trevor's brother? And I was like, This is Mark. Come on. Trevor is his brother.
Right.
And immediately he just goes, Rory's winning the Masters this year. First topic of conversation. And I'm like, okay, I'll bite. What's different this year, Mark? And he goes, I'll tell you what, Patrick. That round I followed at Pebble Beach was unbelievable. It's a type of macro I have never seen before. And he's not missing left. That is the key at Augusta National. You cannot miss left. And so although he did miss 10 fairways yesterday, Rick, post-round, he said, I'm working on this cut, this flutter cut, to eliminate the left side of the golf course. And all his misses were to the right, except I think on 16. He tried to step on one, overhooked it a little bit, cut the corner, didn't work out. But today it was it seemed like he really had it in order, hit 11 fairways. That sawed off speed wedge play was really good in the early goings, and I was very concerned after the first hole when he launched one left and long but chipped in, made up for it. Probably should have birdied a second as well. Whatever, he turns in 5 under, taps in one on the second hole, his 11th par 5 second. Gets to 6 under. He's 11 under for the tournament. Well on his way. Well on his way. And then those left misses started coming again, Rick, with the approach play. Number 4 was a atrocious wedge shot. Just so bad. You saw Xander Schauffele access that pin from the fairway bunker, hit it 10 feet. Scheffler knocked it in close. McIlroy, he was like 20 yards over the green, trying to finesse one in there. Upper body moved too fast. Long and left. And we saw a couple of those coming in off the tee on 6, I believe, also leading to the bogey. And then the fairway wood on 9, a little chunky maybe, but left actually got, I didn't see it. I thought he lost that ball, but I guess it just plopped down underneath the tree.
Right.
Which was pretty lucky. So it was weird how it looked like he had his A game for 11 holes. I mean, the shot in 18 was sweet also. I didn't mention that. And then it kind of just wasn't there anymore. So I'm interested to see with the wind, how that new sawed off, new swing of his that he locked himself into his swing bay for a month for, how it will hold up to the test tomorrow. He sounds excited, but I am intrigued.
Long time to get it done because he feels like he finished hours ago and he's going to have a late tee time on Saturday. He is the favorite to win. I will review that in just 1 second. They're chasing 2. Minwoo Lee and Akshay Bhatia tied at the top at 11 under. They've both gone 67, 66. They are both electric factories. I thought for a moment we were going to get a Minwoo Lee, Rory McIlroy final group, but hey, we'll get a Minwoo Lee, Akshay Bhatia final group. Minwoo is all over the park. He's either stuffing it to a foot or playing out of who knows where. Akshay was a little bit tighter. He made 2 bogeys on the card. What do you assess the likelihood that these two can maintain their positioning as we head into the final 36 of the Players' Championship?
That's a good question, Rick. And I should have seen it coming.
Do you want me to get yourself a different question?
If I had to pick who has more staying power, I think I'm going to side with Minwoo Lee just because he has that little 2-iron that he loves. He can throw it down the fairway 300 yards in the wind, keep it out of the wind. He's a very good putter. Akshay Bhatia is a great putter, don't get me wrong. But I like Minwoo on the greens a bit more. And it seemed like today Minwoo's iron play was much improved. It's relative, of course. I think he was just outside the top 20 in the field in terms of approach, gaining a bit over a stroke and a half. But when you're Minwoo Lee and you can putt like you do, that's all you really need to do. And remember, this is a guy who was in the final pairing with Scottie Scheffler in 2023. After his round, he was asked, hey, what did you learn from that? He goes, you know, number 4, everyone talks about that shot still. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell happened on number 4? I have no idea what you're talking about, Minwoo. I guess he dumped it in the water, chunked a wedge in that final round. And he's like, yep, got too steep. That really, really changed my perspective on my iron play. And it's been a lot more improved recently. So, sorry, getting blasted. I think I'm going to roll with Minwoo.
Okay, well, let me set this up and I can get you back to work here. So Minwoo Lee is 7.5 to 1. He's tied at the top.
What about you? Who do you think?
I'll tell you in a second. Let me read you the board here. So Minwoo Lee and Akshay Patil are both at 11 under. Minwoo is 7.5-1. Vegas likes Akshay a little bit better, 6.5-1, but neither of them are the favorites. That's Rory McIlroy at +360, Colin Morikawa at 4-1. If you go farther than that, you can get the same price on Scottie Scheffler as you can on JJ Spaun. That's a 5-shot difference over 2 rounds. That is exactly what either Vegas thinks of Scottie Scheffler or of JJ Spaun. If you think there is going to be carnage and another opportunity for big movers and shakers, well, let me introduce you to Tommy Fleetwood at 18-1. He is currently 4 shots off the lead. Let me introduce you to Ricky Fowler, who is 120-1, who is 6 shots off the lead. Let's try Jordan Spieth, who is 8 back and 271. Or how about this? Xander Schauffele, 500-1. 10 shots off the lead. Patrick, I have a pre-tournament wager on Colin Morikawa, so I'm pretty fine there. Yeah. I would probably take the 11-1 on Scottie Scheffler.
Thought you were going to say JJ Spaun.
No, I wouldn't. This words would never come out of my mouth.
TD Green is looking sharp.
The real lead is 9 under. Scotty is 4 back. He has not played well yet. I still see, and you are 100% right that he is not the same player that he was last year, which was historic, and we're in a small sample size. But my goodness, man, the luxury of being able to see every single shot that he hits and just like how insanely good he is, I would take that right now, 2 rounds to go at basically 3 times what his pre-tournament odds were.
And you got to think about it. Today, Rory McIlroy looked awesome, and Scottie Scheffler did not. And Rory beat him by 2.
Yeah.
Felt like one of those things, like Rory should have beaten Scotty by 4 or 5, maybe 6 today, but it was only 2. That's kind of just the effect of Scottie Scheffler always just lingering around. Yeah, look, I like Sepp Straka still. He's got to putt a lot better. I think at the end of the day, though, if you had me choose a winner, numbers be damned, I like Morikawa. It's just setting up, coming up short last week. His war against the media. Oh, guess what? The media now has to write about him. It all just, makes way too much sense to me. So I think Colin Morikawa wins. What do you think about one Will Zalatoris?
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, well, that was kind of what he was laying the foundation for last week, but he lost those 6 strokes putting over the 2 rounds that he played at Bay Hill. So not a surprise to see the ball striking back, but yeah, he's like a zero, a little bit more than a zero with the putter. That's a really good sign. I am a little bit pessimistic that it's going to continue, but I hope it does because he could win it. He's 18-1, or if you wanted to get down in other markets, he's you can get a little better than even money, +110 on him to finish inside the top 10, or +280 for him to finish inside the top 5. So there are other options, and the Straka stuff too, +450 to finish inside the top 5, +175 to finish inside the top 10. So you don't necessarily have to go straight up against the Rorys, the Collins, and the Scotties of the world.
I like that number for the top 10 on Straka, +175 for a top 10.
Yeah.
And he's T11?
Yeah. And I mean, literally, okay. I mean, coughed up like probably 4 strokes on his last 10 holes. Oh my gosh, yeah.
I think while we're talking top 10s, a couple other guys, Taylor Pendrith maybe. He's at 5 under, T17.
+450.
Yeah, I'm just looking at big, burly guys who can withstand the wind. So Pendy's another good one. I think Scheffler has some stature to him, right? He's not going to get moved around. He's used to the weather in the, what is he, like 6'4"?
Oh, he's fine. Yeah. I mean, Texas wind, it will be nothing. He won't even notice.
Yeah, that's true. Zalatoris will be a great barometer for how it affects these guys.
Texas, yeah, he's a skinny guy, but Texas, right? Which one is more powerful?
Yeah, it's a big test tomorrow. It's a big test. So indeed. I like some of those top 10 angles. Deep down the board, I'm going to give you a crazy name. Who do I
Thank
want?
You.
Who's a crazy name? Robert McIntyre is about to birdie number 9 to get to 5 under. That's my crazy name of the weekend. Robert McIntyre.
Bobby Mac.
Another guy with the stature.
Definitely knows how to play in sour conditions. Okay, I'm going to get you back to work. You've got things to do. It is Players Championship Week. Patrick has this. I didn't even get a chance to ask you. We'll have to catch up about your road trip.
Not allowed to talk about it.
They're working you too hard. We're going
to
get you.
I have stories, Rick. Many tales to tell.
We might have to do early wedge after dark. Okay,
only a couple days too, and people are telling me everything. They see these pearly whites. They're like, Patrick, did you hear this about so-and-so? I'm like.
You do have a face for confessions.
And I will say, I was talking to someone, and I literally go, come on, man. Just tell me, who am I going to tell?
That's a good move. I use that sometimes.
In the back of my mind, I'm like, the world.
Right. But see, I say that and I'm like, I don't even know anybody. Like, who am I gonna tell? I don't talk to anybody. I talk to the same like four people. They might tell everybody, but all right. Producer Josh, thank you very much. He's on the ones and twos. That right there, Patrick McDonald. I am Rick Gaiman. You can catch us again on what is today? Friday. So that would be the Sunday show. This has been the Early Wedge. We'll see you then.
Podcasts.